If you're an income investor and you're not generating more than $500 a month, we have one question for you.
Are you crazy?
Let ETFGuide.com help you. A $100,000 portfolio using our timely strategies should be able to generate between $500 and $2,000 per month.
Go to ETFGuide.com to get our monthly income trades.
Click on ETF combos and we'll show you how to turn your investments into a cash cow.
Isn't it time you lowered your risk
and increased your monthly income? Go to ETFGuide.com and we'll show you how.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them.
And now presenting your host,
Ron DeLegge. Ron DeLegge.
Welcome to another thrilling episode of the Index Investing Show. Coming up on today's broadcast, 10 blue chip stocks that should make shareholders mad. I'm going to give you what they are. 10 ticker symbols. If you own any of these individual stocks, there's 10 of them, that I'm going to list on today's show, you should be fuming. Also coming up, I'll be doing a portfolio report card on a $200,000 retirement plan. It's a 403B. For JW in Nashville, Tennessee. He is 48 years old. He's married. He works in the healthcare field. We'll be giving you all the details of his investment portfolio, and I will be grading it A, B, C, D, or F at the end of today's show. Does he pass? Does he fail? Now remember, if he gets an A, I get out my wallet and I pay him $100. So will he get an A? Now we don't get many of them, but we occasionally do get an A, and that's a great score. That means he's done perfectly in designing and structuring his portfolio, perfectly when it comes to diversification, perfectly when it comes to risk, cost, tax efficiency, and performance. So stay tuned for that. Now, if you'd like to join us to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, or ETF, we're here. Just call the program, 877-711-5611. Give us your first name along with your city and the ticker symbol. You can also tweet the program live at Index Show is my Twitter handle. We're very active. So let's take a look at what's going on in financial markets. U.S. equities finishing this past week lower, down about 1.5%. Now, the S&P 500 suffered its biggest pullback since late July. Now, we did see new home sales hitting a six-year high. Consumer sentiment remains pretty elevated. When I say consumer sentiment, I'm referring to the mood of consumers. And they're still pretty positive for the most part. Also, revised GDP data confirmed a pretty strong second quarter rebound. So even though we had a mild pullback there in U.S. stocks, we still see on a year-to-date basis a total U.S. stock market, ticker symbol VTI is the ETF, one of them that follows this area, still ahead on a year-to-date basis by 7.5%. So U.S. stocks, if we compare the performance to the rest of the global stock market, outperforming international stocks, outperforming emerging market stocks, so the U.S. continues to lead. Now, in terms of sector performance, we're going to give you a recap of what's happening in S&P 500 sectors. So far this year, all nine S&P 500 sectors are still posting positive year-to-date gains. So that gives you kind of a snapshot of the broadness of the S&P 500's rally. Nevertheless, some sectors are doing better than others. Now, in terms of bonds as a group have not been bad performers. There's been a lot of talk about interest rates rising. Now, this is negative for the most part because bonds have an opposite relationship to interest rates, bond prices. So when interest rates go up, bond prices go down. And if that's the cycle, the next cycle that's yet ahead, it hasn't happened on a wide scale just yet. There's been a lot of talk about it. But we did see pretty good performance this past week when U.S. stocks were sinking. We saw bonds, especially long-term U.S. treasuries, performing and holding up quite strongly. I continue to like long-term U.S. Treasuries, especially when we get a sharper pullback in stocks. I think this is an area that could very well continue to shine in that type of scenario. And I should refresh your memory, those of us that have forgotten what happened in 2008 and 2009 during the financial crisis, this was one of the few areas that performed outstanding. You had U.S. Treasuries performing very, very strongly during the 2008-2009 crisis. So if we get at least a little bit of a pullback and a sharper correction in stocks, which would definitely be healthy, I think this area will hold up pretty well as it has in the past. Now, if you'd like to join us, we're here. If you want to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF, I'm game. If you want to get your portfolio report card, where I analyze and grade your investment portfolio, I don't care if it's a 401k plan, if it's a traditional IRA, Roth IRA, if it's a family trust account, I don't care if it's worth only $10,000 or if it's $10 billion, I will analyze it, grade it, and tell you if you are passing or flunking in the only five areas that matter: diversification, risk, cost, tax efficiency, and performance. Now, if your portfolio can't pass in each one of those five important areas, well, then that just means you got to go back to the drawing board. You got to refurbish and rework your investment plan and get back on track. That's what it's all about. Now, I want to give you some background about our portfolio report card candidate on today's show. His name is JW. He's in Nashville, Tennessee. He's a loyal listener to our podcast. He's been listening to the show about 4 years now. And here's some quick background about him and who he is and what he does. He's 48 years old. He works in an operating room in the healthcare field, so he's a pretty busy guy. He's hard to get in touch with. But he mentioned to me that he's got a 403b plan. It's worth just over $200,000, and it contains 18 mutual funds, and he's saving around $12,500 annually. So he explained to me that one of his greatest fears is not having enough money to retire. Who of us doesn't identify with that? His retirement plan has a brokerage window, which gives him access to a wide variety of investments. Now, he's been choosing the mutual funds within his 403b plan. And like I said, he's got 18 different funds. I'm going to give you some of those ticker symbols in just a moment. He's been choosing all these mutual funds within his 403b plan with the help of a mutual fund newsletter service. And he told me that this service has been stinky, and he's been very dissatisfied with the results. So he asked me to take a look at the portfolio. He wanted me to analyze and grade it and give him a portfolio report card, and that's what I'm going to do. What type of portfolio grade does JW's retirement plan get? Does it get an A? Does it get a B? Does it get a C? Does it get a D? Or does it get an F? Well, we're going to find out on today's show. And whenever we begin a journey, the excitement of getting started frequently overtakes us. Now, we often begin with unrealistic expectations and disappointment. I think our investment experience and the investing experience of many people, including JW, follows that unfortunate pattern. So if you're in that situation, how do you react? Well, instead of blaming and pouting and being angry and looking for someone to finger point at, the mature person finds a way to improve. And that's what this portfolio report card that I invented, this is what it's all about. It's about identifying the strengths and the weaknesses of your portfolio, identifying the strengths, building on them, identifying the weaknesses, eliminating them, and improving. That's what it's all about. Now, those of you that get a poor grade and you don't want to improve, well, that's on you. That's your responsibility. I can identify the strengths and the weaknesses of your portfolio, but I can't do any more than that. If you're happy with a poor grade of C, D, or F, if you're content with that, that just tells me that what kind of financial weirdo you are. Because who of us is satisfied with a poor grade? You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm Ron DeLegge. Coming up next, a portfolio report card for JW in Nashville and much more. All right, so welcome back from the break. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. If you want to join us to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF, I'm game. 877-711-5611. Just give us your first name along with your city and the ticker symbols. If you'd like to get a free portfolio report card, the chance to win $100, I'll pay you $100 if you get an A. If you take Ron DeLegge's portfolio report card challenge, go ahead, make my day. Go to PortfolioReportCard.com and get in touch with me. Now, I want to give you on today's show 10 blue chip stocks that should make shareholders absolutely furious. And it's been widely reported that blue chip stocks generally are good investments. But I'm going to show you on today's program, I'm going to assassinate some of that conventional wisdom, because I've got 10 ticker symbols, 10 blue chip stocks that are going to just absolutely make you angry. And I'm going to explain to you why. So stay tuned for that. Now, we're doing a portfolio report card for JW in Nashville, Tennessee. He asked me to analyze and grade his portfolio. He has some suspicions that he's not doing as well as he should be. Now, he's 48 years old. He's married. He works in the healthcare field. His 403B plan, this is like a 401k plan, but it's geared for people generally in the either the healthcare field or people that work as teachers. But he's got $204,000 in this 403b plan, and he explained to me that he is concerned that he's not going to have enough money to retire. So let's look at the first area, which is diversification. And let me be very explicit with our audience that satisfactory portfolio diversification is never about how many holdings you have inside your portfolio, but rather how well your holdings are distributed across a variety of different asset classes. That's the official and correct definition of diversification. Now, it's good to see at JW's retirement portfolio has exposure to domestic stocks. He owns ticker symbol OAKMX. He also owns international stocks, ticker symbol ARTIX. He also owns some bonds, ticker symbol LSBRX, and real estate, ticker symbol MRESX. Now, these are just a few of the 18 mutual funds that he owns. I don't have time to give you all of them, but I like to look at what his top holdings are, because this just gives us an idea of where the majority of his money is allocated. I should also mention he's made an attempt here to own some small cap and value stocks, ticker symbol BSCFX as well as CLVFX. So what that means is he's trying to have a variety of stocks, not just a certain type. He's trying to not just have exposure to, for example, large companies, but he wants to own small size companies as well as stocks that exhibit value characteristics. So he is making some effort to be diversified, which is good. Nevertheless, JW's portfolio does come up short on lack of exposure to a few key areas. He misses emerging market stocks, he misses commodities, and he also misses cash. So those are three important areas or assets that I think all well-diversified portfolios should have some exposure to. Also, let it be known that none of the 18 mutual funds that JW owns in these various areas are broad or acceptable proxies for these asset classes. So while he does have diversification in the sense that he's got some market exposure to domestic, international stocks, as well as bonds and real estate, the funds that he's using to get exposure to those areas, again, are not what I would consider broad or acceptable proxies for those asset classes. So he can definitely make some improvements on diversification. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Index Investing Show, 877-711-5611. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. This is a weekly program where we teach you the birds and the bees of successful investing. If you'd like to get a free portfolio report card, go to portfolioreportcard.com. I'm doing one right now for JW in Nashville, Tennessee. We're analyzing his 403B plan. He's got just over $200,000 invested in it. He owns 18 different mutual funds. We just looked at diversification. He did okay. We're going to next look at risk, cost, tax efficiency, and performance, and then we're going to give him a final grade of A, B, C, D, or F on today's show. Now, let's look next at risk. Now, deliberately overweighting your portfolio in certain asset classes or in individual stocks or perhaps an ETF for strategic reasons is one thing. But when that overweighting happens inside a portfolio by accident or without purpose, it's usually problematic. Now, in JW's case, he has 97.3% of his money in stock funds. He's got 1.55% in real estate securities, and then he's got 1.13% in bonds. In this, my question is this by design or by accident? The fact that he's got so much of a heavy weighting of his portfolio in stocks, 97%. Now, he's 48 years old. He told me he was an aggressive investor, but this is not an aggressive asset mix in terms of risk. This is a hyper-aggressive asset mix. This is even true for a 48-year-old aggressive investor who, as JW told me, needs to make as much money as possible. Now, the risk characteristics of a portfolio, and again, let me be explicit here, explicit and direct. The risk characteristics of your portfolio should always be 100% compatible with not just how we want to invest our money, but or who we say we want to aspire to be as an investor, but it should be compatible with our age and with our life circumstances. I would say, again, for a 48-year-old aggressive investor, 97% allocation to stocks is way above what I would consider compatibility risk-wise. So I think, again, JW's got to do some work on recalibrating his risk and getting it back in line with what his true tolerance for risk is. Because let me tell you, when the next stock market pullback or correction comes, and when it happens, and it's not a matter of when, really, it's a matter of when, because it will happen, this type of portfolio is going to really take a beating. And certainly it may take more of a beating than JW expects. So we don't want him to be shocked or surprised by that sort of thing. Now's the time to address some of these areas in terms of improving his risk score. So we just looked at diversification. We just looked at risk. And we will next look at cost, tax efficiency, and performance. Before we do that, let me throw out the number again, 877-711-5611. That's our call-in number. Give us your first name along with your city if you'd like to join us to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF. Also, if you miss our regular radio broadcast for whatever reason, you can always pick up our free podcast. It's available at iTunes. You can also find us on Stitcher. Just search under the Index Investing Show. Coming up, we're going to take a look at 10 blue chip stocks that should make shareholders absolutely furious. And I'm going to give you a listing of what these stocks are. I compared their performance versus their peer industry sector ETF, which is the correct point of reference. If you own individual stocks, this is the way you should be looking at the performance of your stocks. How do they perform versus their peers? No easier way to do that than taking a look at the peer sector ETF of your stocks. We're going to do that with 10 blue chips. And if you own these stocks, man, it's time to take a look at cutting the cord. This is the Index Investing Show. I'm Ron DeLegge. I'll be right back.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
Are you frustrated with how your investments never seem to grow? Do you feel like your investment plan might be off track? Are you concerned about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you're not alone. Get the help you need with Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card. Get a snapshot of your current investments and find out if your financial plan is really on track. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Millions of people are investing blindly in the stock market. Don't be one of them. Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card tells you everything you need to know about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Traditional IRA, Roth IRA, 401k plan, or brokerage account. It doesn't matter what you have. Ron's free portfolio report card will tell you everything you need to know. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Don't invest without it.
Okay, if you have not had a chance to pick up a copy of my October ETF Profit Strategy newsletter, it is out. It's live. And contained within there, we've got the 10 mega investment themes. I've got a vital sign snapshot of all the key asset classes and sentiment gauges, like, for example, VIX, volatility. We've also got the total put-call ratio, which gives us some indication of the market's mood. And we also have the technicals, which, again, we use to give us an idea of where the market stands and where it could be headed. Now, in the October newsletter, you'll also see a detailed explanation of our October ETF income trade. This is something we do once a month. And our latest trade, we generated just over $600 of monthly income. And we sold covered calls on an all ETF portfolio. And since inception, which goes back to February of 2012 when we launched the income mix portfolio, we've generated $26,144 or around $817 per month of monthly income over the past 32 months. Does it work? Absolutely. Do we teach you how to do it? Absolutely. So again, if you're looking for more income and you want to get what's over and above what you're getting from traditional bonds, bond income, as well as dividend income, well, this is a great strategy. The ETF Income Mix Portfolio, go to ETFguide.com, click on the Profit Strategy Newsletter, subscribe, and get our latest income trade. Now, if you're just joining us, we're here. If you want to talk about a particular stock, a mutual fund, ETF, if you want to complain, if you want to fight with me, if you want to compliment me, whatever. If you want to talk about anything financial on your mind, that's fine. If you're too shy to call, you can also tweet me at Index Show or email me, ron@indexshow.com. That's my email address. Again, the number 877-711-5611. We're doing a portfolio report card for JW in Nashville, Tennessee. We already looked at diversification of his portfolio. He needs to improve there. We looked at the risk of his portfolio. Is it compatible with who he is? Well, he's got 97% of his portfolio, his 403B plan. This is a retirement plan. 97% of it is invested in stock mutual funds. That's a little bit high for someone that's 48 years old that considers himself an aggressive investor. This is a hyper aggressive asset mix, to say the least. Now, his portfolio, its total value is around $204,000. And again, this is 18 different mutual funds that he owns. His top three holdings are ticker symbol ARTIX. He's got about 18.7% there. OAKMX, around 18.4% there. And AAGPX, he's got around 14.4% in that particular mutual fund. So those are his three largest holdings. They account for 51.5% of his portfolio. And in terms of cost and annual fees, the portfolio, and I calculated this, his portfolio charges annual expenses, well, just these three funds, between 0.93% up to 1.2%. Okay, that's just for his three largest holdings. Now, the rest of his portfolio, from what I've seen so far, gives little attention to minimizing his fund fees. I estimated the total annual cost of his portfolio to be just over 1%, 1.1% to be exact. So none of us can control the direction of interest rates. None of us can control how the stock market will behave now or in the future. But what we can control and what we should control is how much our investment portfolios cost us. Simply put, paying less results in more money over the long run in your own pocket. And that's where it belongs. That's where your money belongs, in your own pocket, not in the pocket of some mutual fund company or mutual fund manager that you're overpaying. So on cost, again, I think there's a lot of fat in JW's 403B plan that can be trimmed in order to bring his cost much lower. In terms of tax efficiency, the money inside JW's 403B plan, like other retirement plans such as IRAs and Roth IRAs and 401k plans and 457 plans, it grows tax deferred. He has no outstanding loans, which is good, and he has no premature distributions happening in this retirement account, and I observe no problems in terms of his overall tax liabilities of this plan, and that's outstanding. So he does well. In terms of tax efficiency, that's great. In terms of cost, he can definitely make some improvements. We already looked at risk. We already looked at diversification. The last and final point that we will analyze JW's portfolio on is performance. So stay tuned for that. And then, of course, after we consider what his performance has been, I will give him a final report card of A, B, C, D, or F. 877-711-5611. That's the number. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. If for whatever reason you're not able to catch our regular radio broadcast, or if you miss it, you can pick up our free podcast. It's available at iTunes or Stitcher. Just search under the Index Investing Show, and yes, you will find us. Also, while you're there, be sure to give us a review. Tell us what you think about the show. This will also help others to find the program. We appreciate you giving the show a review. Now, I want to list for you 10 blue chip stocks that have been absolutely miserable performers. And regardless of whether you believe that the stock market is overvalued or undervalued, one thing I think we can all agree on is that stocks have been stellar performers over the past 5 years. I mean, the S&P 500 has risen five consecutive years and gained around 228% since the market bottom low of March of 2009. Over that same period, we've seen mid-cap and smaller-cap stocks perform even better. Naturally, the average financial pedestrian associates blue-chip stocks with performance that is better than the rest of the stock market. But I did a recent survey of leading and widely held stocks, what we might say blue chips, that clearly disproves that mistaken view that blue chip stocks perform better than the rest of the market. Because masked underneath the sizzling performance of the broader S&P 500 has been a whole lot of subperforming performance in terms of certain individual stocks. Now, to grasp the magnitude of underperformance, what I did was a random analysis on 50 blue chip stocks covering the nine S&P 500 sectors. And I'm only going to list 10 on today's show because I don't have time to list all 50. I'm going to list all 10, and if you want to get the full list of 50, you can go to etfguide.com and click on the article titled, Here's 50 Blue Chip Stocks That Should Make Shareholders Mad. I'm going to list to you what those 10 are. So get your pieces of paper out, get your pens, and you can write down these ticker symbols. If you own any of these stocks, I would say it's a red alarm. It's a red alarm that's not just flashing, but it's ringing bells. It's really alarming. It's a five alarm type of situation that I think I'm trying to highlight to you here. So I looked at some of the top sectors. There's nine of them, S&P sectors, and then I selected individual blue chip stocks within each one of those sectors. I'm going to give you the first three. Okay, these are the first three in terms of underperformance, and these are not the worst, but they're in the top 10. Southern Company, Apache Corp, and Cisco Systems. Ticker symbol SO, APA, and CSCO. I'm going to give you the other names when I come back. This is the Index Investing Show. Go nowhere!
The Index Investing Show with Lon DeLegio.
All right, welcome back from the break. I wanted to help you grasp the magnitude of underperformance of many individual stocks that are classified as blue chips, which often misleads people to think that, well, these types of stocks have better performance than the broader market. And that's not necessarily true. And I took a random survey of S&P 500 stocks. And if you're a member of the S&P 500, that's a very, very high honor. You're in the group of really, you know, the top-notch companies worldwide. And here, what I found was massive underperformance, even among these type of stocks. So we just listed three of them that badly, badly underperformed their peer sector. For instance, Southern Company, ticker symbol SO, this is a utility, underperformed S&P utility ETF, ticker symbol XLU, by 75% over the past 5 years. Now, this is from 2009 September to 2014 September, and the utility sector as a group has been a pretty good performer this year. XLU, on a year-to-date basis, ahead by just over 12.5%. But again, this is totally unacceptable to have an individual stock in a sector underperform its peers, and that's what that's happened with Southern Company. We also listed just ahead of that in terms of, now when I say ahead, we're getting progressively worse. So Southern Company is bad, but even worse has been Apache Company, or Apache Corp. APA is the ticker symbol. This one's in the energy sector. Apache has underperformed energy stocks within the S&P 500, XLE, by a whopping 78% over the past 5 years. Totally unacceptable performance. If you're a shareholder of Apache, you should be absolutely angry. Here's another company where shareholders should be fuming. This one is in the technology sector. Those of you that work at or own Cisco Systems, CSCO, Cisco has underperformed the S&P technology sector ETF, ticker symbol XLK, by a whopping 93% over the past 5 years. Totally, totally unacceptable. Again, when we've got an individual stock that underperforms a group of peers by that much, 93%. It just tells you that stock, that management team, absolutely deserves to be either fired or overturned, or something's badly, badly wrong. That's what's happened at Cisco Systems. Here's another one, Bed Bath & Beyond. This one's part of the consumer discretionary sector, ticker symbol XLY, Bed Bath & Beyond has underperformed consumer discretionary stocks in the S&P 500 by a whopping 101%. How about Baxter International? This is a healthcare stock, ticker symbol BAX. Here's another one that should make shareholders absolutely furious. If you own Baxter International, your stock has underperformed healthcare ETF, the XLV, again, is the ticker symbol for healthcare, by 104% over the past 5 years. Totally, totally unacceptable. In the utility sector, PG&E Corp., ticker symbol PCG, has underperformed utilities, XLU, by 108% over the past 5 years. That's horrific. Now we're getting into the top four. These are the top four in terms of worst performers over the past 5 years relative to their peer industry sector ETF. These are the biggies and these are the baddies. Target Corporation, TGT. Do you own Target? Well, if you do, you've underperformed consumer discretionary stocks in the S&P 500 by a whopping 118% over the past 5 years. That's horrific. Now we're into the top three. Hewlett-Packard Corporation, HPQ, has underperformed technology stocks in the S&P 500, XLK, by 122% over the past 5 years. Ouch! How about General Motors? This is the top two now. General Motors, and when I mean top two, I really mean bottom. GM has underperformed consumer discretionary stocks by 160%. That's just, again, totally unacceptable performance for a blue chip stock, for any stock relative to its peer sector. And finally, Exelon Corporation, ticker symbol EXC, it's in the utility sector, XLU, and it's underperformed utility S&P 500 stocks by a whopping 162%. So this is, I just gave you the top 10. I've got a list of the top 50. It's available at etfguide.com. And again, the purpose for this research that I'm sharing with you is to give you a clearer, more transparent perspective of equity performance. If the management team running the company that you own cannot beat a group of peers, their compensation should be immediately cut or they should be fired. If equity performance, by the way, is not your yardstick, then you're probably using the wrong yardstick. So if you own individual stocks or you work at a publicly traded company, start comparing the performance of your stocks versus their peer sector ETFs. And guess what, people? You may discover that investing in the sector ETF was the better route. 877-711-5611, that is the number. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. I am also the publisher of the ETF Profit Strategy newsletter. The October issue is out. I encourage you to pick up a copy. I am also the inventor of the Portfolio Report Card system, which teaches you how to build an investment portfolio that's world-class. An investment portfolio that minimizes cost, minimizes taxes, maximizes performance, and also has accurate diversification and a level of risk that's in line with you. So now let's take a look at the final area of JW's $204,000 403B retirement plan. He's 48 years old. He's in Nashville, Tennessee. We already looked at diversification. He needs to improve there. We looked at risk. He needs to improve there. We looked at cost. He needs to improve there. Tax efficiency was okay. Now, performance is really the bottom line, but highly misleading for people, especially financial advisors and Wall Street types that tell you that performance is the only thing that you should be looking at. Well, yeah, performance is the bottom line, but it's highly misleading to suggest that risk and diversification and the cost of your portfolio, that those things don't matter, and the tax efficiency of your portfolio, that those things don't matter, because that's wrong. In fact, those other areas affect or impact your performance. So after deducting JW's annual contribution to his retirement plan, His money grew from $173,000 in August of 2013 to $192,399. He had a one-year return of 11.2% compared to a 15.98% gain for a blended mix of index ETFs matching his asset allocation. So JW's underperformance relative to our yardstick at a time when stocks have performed strongly, and for a portfolio that is this heavily concentrated in stocks, is not acceptable. It's not satisfactory. And I think he's got every right to be disappointed. So the final report card grade for JW's 403B plan is D. And he joked with me that he was going to get a double F minus. Well, he didn't get that double F minus. That's the good news. I guess he beat his own depressed expectations. The bad news is he's got a D. And even though with someone has a poorly designed investment plan or portfolio, I always try to find one positive thing. And it's something that a person can build on. JW is definitely a good saver. He's got a desire to be a smarter investor. And he does have some elements of diversification, but clearly he's got to do some homework and make some improvements. Well, that does it for another episode of the Index Investing Show. Join us again next week. Until we meet again, may the market indexes be with you.
The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily that of our advertisers, sponsors, or broadcast partners. The discussion of investing is general and should not be construed as investment advice or an offer to buy or sell securities. Listeners are responsible for their own investment decisions and results. Before investing in mutual funds or ETFs, always consult a prospectus for risk, charges, expenses, and other information. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No reproduction or dissemination of the Index Investing Show is permitted without the expressed written consent of its producers.